Welcome to the weekly podcast from Gorebridge Parish Church. For more teaching or to find out more about life at Gorebridge Parish Church, please visit our website, gorepc.com.
Set up the WHO group, the Women's Health Organization. Meets on a Wednesday morning. Started about 8 years ago to combat isolation and loneliness in women of, and I have it in inverted commas, a certain age. It's fun, relaxed, and welcoming. We have speakers, sometimes do crafts, go for walks now and again, enjoy the company. Two fundraisers, they had a Christmas craft sale, and ladies raised over £900, which was given to the Teenage Cancer Unit, Mid and East Lothian Women's Aid. Amazing achievement. Check us out on a Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. How about that? It's great, isn't it? Now. Oh, here we go. In January of last year, we invited Leslie Penny, who has the absolutely unique accolade of having headed up the worship at St. Mungo's Palermo and been the vet to Dolly the sheep. There you go. It's true. But Leslie came and did a re-envisioning with the worship team. And this is what Keith wrote. I think it was a significant meeting for both the worship team and the Kirk session that attended. They got to pray for each other. It was lovely. And Leslie, who's on the teaching staff at St. Mungo's Palermo and an ex-clan gathering worship director, has a passion for worship and renewal for the church in Scotland, spoke to us of the importance and significance of worship in our church. She reminded us how precious worship is and that we should guard it like a precious stone. We had an amazing time of worship, followed with the elders praying over the worship team, and the worship team reciprocated by praying over our leadership. It was a lovely time of re-envisioning and refreshing as we were filled to lead for the year ahead. The Lord is good. Amen. Thank you, Keith. Okay. I thought what we'd do, we tend to do things in date order, but I thought we'd mix things up this year so that you're awake for this. Again, we had the Christmas lunch. Karen wrote this. It's been a true blessing to serve every year on this day. How many years have we been doing it now? Four? Three or four? And this year was so special, our Lord's grace and peace were in abundance. And Karen writes, can I please use this opportunity to pass on my thanks to everyone who contributed by giving their time and gifts? We were blessed with people who could cook, clean, sing, serve, and everything we needed to make the day truly wonderful. We served over 50 lunches. Thanks to all the food and financial donations from Karen, Agnes, and the team. How about that? And there's another photo here. Okay. Also this Christmas, we were giving out Christmas hampers from the food bank. How many did we give out this year? Over 130. So if you're all wondering where yours was, you obviously, no. But 130 hampers all around Mid Lothian, all families and individuals who've been, and couples who've been referred to us as people who might fall into food poverty over the holidays. So well done to our food bank team. Okay. So here we go, Camp Gideon in Estonia for young Russian kids, many of them orphans. And our team fundraised, those of you who were at the concert, and flash bombed and created and did all sorts of stuff to make sure that these children who otherwise might not have a great holiday had a great holiday. It was super hairy, as you might imagine, when you take a group of Christians into a situation where it's just that bit wild. And I know it was a real challenge for many of the team who were there, but you did it. And because you did it, those children were blessed. And that was a major win. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? So along with those 15 children that you're helping month by month, we're also pitching in for Russian orphans. And you might remember that Debbie from Love Russia came and led our meeting place early in the year. It was an amazing effort this year. So well done, Anne and Andrew and team. Lorna McLean was saying, how many meals does this church serve every week? And the truth is nobody's got a clue. But it's quite a few. One of my big wins for this year is every time I go in the kitchen, there's fizzy drinks in our display fridge. And I think that's a threshold which we've crossed this year. Is you can, if you really are thirsty or hungry, you can always get something at this place. Do you remember the days when we used to run out of biscuits? No more? Now. Like, who's bringing the biscuits? Everybody's bringing the biscuits. That's what happens now. So during the summer holidays, the food bank is, with the Growth Matters Project ran a lunch club, and it was every Thursday. It was a Thursday. I was going to say Thursday. Every Friday. And the lunch club on a Friday was there to help provide food and activities for families who might have challenges. And it's just fantastic that we're able to do that, teaching the kids to cook, doing crafts and all that sort of stuff. Because the holidays can be really tough, especially if you're relying on free school meals now. We also at Growth Matters have been partnering with Isabel from Bethany. And we've been trying to get Bethany Christian Trust to do stuff in Midlothian for ages, when we were delighted to find out that they've been trying to do stuff here for years. And so we are now partnering with Isabel, who's a member at Howgate Church, across the other side of Midlothian, to do stuff here. But one of the great outflows of that has been the lunch club on a Thursday. That's why we're getting muddled up, isn't it? Because we just make lots of food. Kev makes the food with assistance, and then it's served on the Thursday. And how many are we getting to those meals now? Between 20 and 30 a week of people who would be facing social isolation, or perhaps have all kinds of challenges. There's just a safe place where you can come and get some company and a meal on a Thursday here. Isn't that great? Yeah. Well done, Janice and the team. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Now, just for a bit of fun, spot the Kevin. Can you see the Kevin? What do you mean Kevin's in the toaster? How on earth would he... there we go. Hey. Oh. And there's some well-scrubbed tatties. I'm not going to point the pointer at any other well-scrubbed tatties, but well, we do. We brush up nicely. Okay. And I believe those potatoes were grown. They were grown in the playground of Gorebridge Primary School. Yep, because as part of Growth Matters, we got a growing project using the redundant beds there, which has just been brilliant. And actually, a big thank you to Skanska for being really, really helpful. The opposite of what you might expect. They've been brilliant in making sure we have access and can use the ground. So there you go. There's the tatties, and there's the lad what grew them. Right. Brilliant. Also, if you feel moderately exhausted now, it's because you're looking at two people who've run a half marathon. And I believe the marathon's in Target for this year. Ho, ho, ho. Raising money for the food bank and all that sort of stuff. Was Go as well? It was last year. So well done to Sarah and to Ross for running so far. Absolutely. So the only question I have, Ross, is when did your leg fall off and how was it reattached? The children's worship band have continued to do all sorts of things. Adeline has written a long piece about their work, which is great, and she wants to say thank you to everybody, encourage you in prayer. I think what I'm going to do is make that available through at lunches, and you can have a read of that if you wish. But we're very grateful, especially for our adult helpers, for Adeline and Chiwi, for Robin, for Steph, for Keith, and for Ross, and for Joel. Well done to everyone who helps. Oh, yeah, and the sound guys, Liam and Joel, and Colin, and everyone who's pitched in to help our children's worship band grow in what they're doing. Okay. We had another fun day, and when we wrote out Billy, Billy Ness was saying how much he thought that had been an impact. They brought friends along, and they just couldn't believe how welcoming you guys were, so well done. Hands up if you were helping at the fun day. Let's see y'all. Look at that. It's a tall army of folks, even up in the gallery. Glad you're awake. Now, Now, often in couples, you have an extrovert-introvert combination. Many of you will be married in extrovert-introvert combinations. So I thought I'd get the extrovert of this combination on the picture. And here's Elizabeth pointing to the fact that Neil, we kind of do, Johnny, it took about a thick end of 5 years to find a church. I mean, he found all sorts of churches, but until that right combination was found, I think it took Neil about 5 days. So he's brought down our average, which was quite remarkable. And here's Elizabeth. I don't know if you read that, but it says, on the 3rd of September 2017, following an election for the appointment of a minister of the vacant charge of Belhaven, with spot Neil Watson is accordingly being elected and appointed subject to the judgment of the courts of the church. I'm sure that snappy memo was read by many passers-by in Belhaven as they made their way to the shops. Whether they understood anything more at the end of it, I don't know. But I think Elizabeth knows what's going on. There we go. Now, what I'd like to do is to invite Joel and Ross to come and do a section on what the young people have been getting up to this year, and to do a big wins for that. Okay. Have a doof. Our average is 915 days to find
out. Have you just figured that out?
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, my. Wow. Thanks, Fraser. You can be our in-house statistician. Great.
Youth work-wise, we've had an incredibly busy year, There's just been so much going on. And I think for me, we kind of had five highlights. And normally when we've done these kind of presentations in the past, we end up talking about Stage and Slam. We end up talking about camp. And we end up talking about Sunday mornings, because they're the kind of primary three things that happen during the week. We talk about Young Life too. A lot of the time we end up chatting about the same stuff, and although all that stuff has been good in the last year, Stage and Slam went great, camp was brilliant, Sunday mornings have been really good, we thought we'd talk about some different stuff this year rather than going over the same ground. I haven't actually been at Youth Alpha this year because I've been at Adult Alpha, so I'm going to pass over to you.
Thanks, big guy. So you can see, if you can read it, that from when we had that stuff, in fact, just seeing the fun slide come up is kind of funny for us, because the fun day was kind of the marker when we then had lots of things happen in very quick succession that were very difficult. But for us, even though the church decided to postpone Alpha, we thought that we should at least take our leaders through it, because a lot of us, including myself, had never done an Alpha course, and there was new material, and so we decided to take our leaders through it from sort of October to December time. So from that time, every Thursday evening, we had the leaders in here, and from that, around 15 to 20 people, give or take some weeks, we had new hosts and new helpers being trained so that we could then do the Youth Alpha course starting in January, which we're into this coming week, week four, alongside you guys. And from that, I can't remember exactly the number of guests, but I know that I cater for 41 people, helpers, guests, hosts included, coming to Youth Alpha. The Green Hall Food Bar has been very thankful for our custom so far. And they got good pizza, too. We had munchie boxes last time, and some of us were feeling the carbohydrate crash afterwards. But it's going really well, and we've got a lot of people who are coming who have not even stepped into the through the doors of this church yet, but it's because people are wanting to see their friends come to faith, which is really exciting for us, and some epic conversations are happening. So please keep praying as we move forward in that up until the end of Easter, or around Easter time, yeah.
Yeah, and even on team, it's wonderful, because I think on team, there's only one or two people who are even over the age of 25. So when you consider that there's kind of 40-odd people in the hall, and basically everyone under 25 going through Alpha, it's very, very cool. Second one is this. I think I should speak on this one, man. But we've had Joel starting as a youth and schools worker, which has been awesome. So, yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited about that, too.
So it's been wonderful, because if you don't know a lot of Joel's story, I'll go over it quickly, but Joel's kind of been here a long time because he belongs to Mark and Diane. I think when I first started here, he was just part of the youth group, and the youth group was kind of two, three people, give or take, and we kind of ran on from there, and Joel, as he went through school, just developed as a leader very naturally. And then after school, he decided to do training himself, going across to the States, and then just volunteered here for a few years and just didn't leave, which is great because we really didn't want him to. And then ended up going off to do a degree, but did this placement work in here for 20 hours a week. And then at the end of that, I think because we've had Joel on staff as a student, and we've had Liam on staff as a student too, the work really expanded because there was a lot more workers. And then suddenly we were looking at the prospect of, wait a minute, if we lose our students, I'm kind of sitting here going, I have three people's working, one me. So we kind of had chats about that. And in the end, chatting to Kirk Session, I was kind of like, do you know what? I've been working with Joel for a long time, and if I had the opportunity to employ him, we've been training him for 5 years. He loves this place. This is his church, loves the kids, knows all the work. Can we keep him? And the conversation went that way, ended up at a yes, and it's just phenomenal that now you're here and here full time and part of the deal. So that has just been a massive win, because what that allows us to do as a youth team now is just continue to go on and develop, and it's just been brilliant. So thank you for assisting us and helping that happen, but it's been one of the biggest wins for us. Go on to the next one. I probably need to do this one too, and then I'll pass to you for the next one. So GO is the youth charity that we run in the community. So it's completely kind of secular one, runs out of the church, but it was going to close a number of years ago, with just where things were at, about 2008, 2009. It just sort of run into the ground, and we ended up taking it over, really, as a church. Mark became the chairperson. I ended up getting involved in the youth work there, so did Fee, and ended up being the project manager, and then Joel ended up working there too. And it just became that when we really spoke to different areas of the community and asked for volunteers for GO, everybody that said yes were from the church. So now it just kind of ended up that way. But it's really resurrected from having about 8 to 10 people there per night to currently on a Friday night, we run from 6 till 7:30 for primary sevens, then 7:30 till 9 for high school kids. We're working really with between 25 and 40 kids a night in each session. So we kind of go between 50 and 80 young people coming through the church every Friday night to take part in these activities, which is great. But with the third sector being the way it is at the moment, funding's a nightmare to come by. And we've been in a position where we were literally at less than 1 month's funding left. So we were kind of looking at things like, okay, if stuff doesn't start coming through in the next month, we're really in trouble. So there was a lot of prayer went on. And then very quick succession, we got a note back from the People's Health Trust and the Gannicay Trust that they were going to fund us. And it's really secured the funding of the project for 2.5 to 3 years, which is the most funding that we've ever had while I've worked here. To be in that position with the third sector as it is just now is just a miracle. So it's been absolutely unbelievable that that's happened. But just a huge win, because for me, I can end up with a lot of my time looking at funding applications and just trying to get things done. And it's great, because when that's secure, you can actually look at other stuff. So that's been a massive win this year, and was just wonderful that we got there. I'm going to pass back over to you for this one, though, Joe.
Thanks, Ross. Do you want to clap for that one? Go for it. We could clap for money. That's okay. So the next thing is, you'll see in sort of bolder writing up there is the word clan, and it's not necessarily in capital letters for us, but it just makes it look more visible. That's really, let me give you the reason that this is up there. If you don't know already, we're not good at naming things. We call things Monday Night Club, we call it Friday Night Youth Drop-In, we call it Sunday Youth Group. It's just that, really, it's actually more helpful for us because it's the day that it happens on and whatever it is, because then it makes us feel better because we know what's going on. But when we took, Ross early on in the new sort of school term, so around September time, he asked the kids to actually start expressing what they were wanting that we hadn't already given them. And you can see at the bottom there, if you can see past my head, it says things like they wanted worship and identity, more prayer ministry, deeper conversations, mentoring, and etc. They were actually not asking for more pies in the face. They were asking for more of understanding Jesus and what was going on there. So we responded to that, and one of the things was the identity. They actually wanted a name. So Ross actually asked me, as one of the first things I did here, to start a process where we would start to give a name to what we were doing. And we got involved with all of our leaders, all the kids, even outside of our leadership, into the wider leadership of the church. And my dad said this immortal thing to me at one point, because we were racking through a few names, and he said, you know, Joel, I often find with these processes, you just need to wait for a while until an INFP tells you what to do. And Ross is an INFP, and so is my mom, so that's why he said that. And eventually Ross said, I really like clan, and it had come up once or twice. And the reason why is because we wanted the name that would say kind of what we are. And clan is just another word for family for us. And that's exactly what we intend for this whole community, plus what our youth group is a family. It's a large family. And to be able to bring other people into that family as well. So we came up with this word, clan. We have even a logo process going on just now. We have a few ideas that are getting battered around so that we can have an official logo for it and everything, but we don't have that just yet. So from now on, apart from GO, because that is a secular charity, kind of separate to that, any youth work under the church is now under that name, clan. So if you hear us talking about that, That's what it means. The other thing as well is that in regarding to the worship and the deeper conversations and things, if you've been around for a while, you'll have seen us maybe get up here and shove shaving cream down each other's trousers or into each other's ears and sing light and fluffy and things like that. They came out of us doing our Young Life and Wildlife Club, which is in conjunction with a parachurch organization called Young Life, which we partnered with for 10 years. Close to 10 years. That's where our camp, Stage and Slam, all kind of come from, is us partnering with them. And they have a tool called Club, which is an hour a week of kids coming. They have crazy, crazy fun, and then they hear a foundational gospel message at the end. We found that for very good reasons, our kids just weren't there anymore. And so we found that the Tula Club wasn't something that they wanted. They were actually coming along, and we found this, where they would have fun, but they would engage more with the talk at the end. They would engage more with the conversations at the end. So as a result, we decided to stop, for now, using the tool of Club, Young Life Club and Wildlife Club, and instead move over to clan worship and clan mentoring. Again, we're not very good at naming things, because we just called it our new name, and the thing it is. So, you know, I think, can we go halfway, though? We got halfway, and that's something. So clan worship and clan mentoring now happen on a Monday night, and they happen every 2 weeks from each other. So I know that's kind of confusing, but it essentially means that tomorrow we'll be having clan worship. 2 weeks from that, we'll have clan mentoring. 2 weeks from that, we'll have clan worship, and so on and so forth. And the idea is that we still get a Monday where it's free, so we can give our leaders some time off still. But in those nights, the clan worship is a lot like what our evening meeting is like, though we're adapting it to suit the needs of our youth. So there'll be more worship, there'll be more prayer ministry, there'll be a deeper talk, and the kids are really enjoying it so far. We had a Christmas party and things, and we're still figuring it out. It started in November. And then for clan mentoring, we just wanted to give an opportunity for our mentors, which are all of the leaders who have mentees, which are the kids, to come along, be given something that's more deep, something maybe to do with prophetic ministry or worship ministry, something that's deeper so that they can learn about it, but then talk with it with the people they love and trust the most. So it's a lot more kind of relaxed atmosphere, if that makes sense. We're still in the sort of early days of that starting, but if you could pray for us that the Holy Spirit would be leading us to where we actually need to take this, not where we think, but where where the Holy Spirit's taking us. Does that make sense? Thanks, guys. Hand it back to Ross now.
Yeah, so it's a super exciting development. And I think when you're at that stage of going, actually, when we asked the kids what they want, it was basically more Jesus and deeper stuff than we're doing currently. And that's just so exciting to be involved in. So it's great to see where it's going. And just really exciting, man, once all this kind of gets into the routine. Really looking forward to seeing where it goes. And well done, Joel, thank you. And our last one that I wanted to put up as a big win is this. Yay! I don't think they're actually here today, which is really funny. But at the same time, Liam and Sophie got married this year, which was wonderful. Just a great service. It was great to be part of and great fun to see. And I think for me, Liam's been about as a student with us he's just gone into his final year at uni, and he's halfway through his final year now doing the same course that Joel did. And he's always been unsure. It's been funny chatting to Liam throughout, being like, so what do you want to do when you finish? And having those kind of conversations. And constantly the answer's kind of been, I don't really know. And he's been unsure of what the future holds for quite a while, actually. And it's been really, really good this year, because I think he's started to feel that he's found a home here, which has been brilliant, because I think Liam, throughout his history, I don't think he'd mind me saying this, whatever church he's been a part of, he's kind of felt like he's been a part of it, but it's not really been his home. He's been there for a while, or he's been there for a period, and he's not really felt settled, but he's felt part of it, and like he wants to contribute, but not that it's his family in that sense. And he's never had a church that felt like that. And I think what's been really exciting over this final year with him is through conversations, he's just started to come to that realization of going, actually, this place is home. And it's meant that when he's talking about graduating the degree, he's not sure if he wants to go into ministry or anything like that. And we've been having a lot of conversations about that. But he's like, definitely in the meantime, while I'm figuring that out, I want to just get a job and stay here. And he's kind of hit that point of going, this is home. And I think while I'm figuring out what God has for my future, I want to stay home. And we want to figure out what the future holds. And I think to see Liam grow and develop in the way he has, just how him and Soph give of their time, give of their resources, and give of their love to the kids in this church, in comparison to what Liam's life has been like in so many other places, it's just been wonderful to see. And I think seeing the development of him since he's been on DGL, And just the guy that he's become in the 3 years he's been here has just been wonderful. And I think for us as a church, it's been a massive win, because Liam and Sophie are just absolutely wonderful. But at the same time, for him, it's been a massive win as well. And it's just been a great partnership, and so excited to see what the future holds for him. And just to celebrate him getting married was brilliant, because Liam settling down was not a thought I think anybody who really knew Liam thought would ever happen. And the fact he got to the point where he wanted that to happen and is actually viewing a place as home is just wonderful. So to see the work that God's been doing in Liam's life and just the development there has been sensational. It's been such a big win for us as a church and as a youth team. So I think for us, they're the big wins we wanted to talk about this year, rather than going down the normal avenues, because there's been so much other stuff that's been massive for us this year. So we thought we'd give you a taste of some of the other stuff that goes on, but really, I think that's majority of what we'd like to say. So I'll pass back over, Mark.
Isn't that great? Now, every year we say goodbye to some folks. We hand them off to glory, knowing that our work here with them is done. And it's not a side of church life that we focus on much these days, but already we have some on our list for next year. But this year, we say goodbye to Frieda Winning, to Ian Kerr, who used to come from Redwoods on a Sunday, Ella Turnbull, to Eileen McElreevy and Lexi Tate, whose company we used to enjoy up at New Byers, to Ellen Thompson, to Jim Johnson, that's Catherine's father, to Annie Downey, that's Kevin's mum, and to Bert Campbell. And it's just amazing to see, it's a real privilege that the church has, saying goodbye to folks, a real, real privilege. And it's an encouragement in our mission, because we want to be able to give people over to Jesus with them already knowing him, right? And we pray that's that way for us too. We had a couple of film nights. The girls did pretty well socially this year. They went to restaurants and they had we had a film night for the War Room. I think that was open to everybody, and it really challenged. Anyone here actually set up a prayer room on the back of that? Just find a place in your house. Oh, well, we've got some work to do there. Right? And then Hidden Figures, which is a brilliant film about the women, the black women who were involved in putting together the statistics and calculations to land men on the moon. And they said that it was in Langley in Virginia, so it was still segregated when this was going on. Brilliant film. And if anybody wants to borrow it, have a chat with Diane and I, because we've got a copy. It's a great film. We had Bible 101. We got Neil. Neil was looking for a project to really get his teeth into. And so at that stage was Andrew Dick. Although Andrew this year has found meaningful work to do across in Lone Head, and that's why we haven't seen much of Andrew, though they're still members here. But we went through the whole story of the Bible in 10 weeks. And wasn't perfect, but it was a good thing to do. I think we learned a lot. That's what we did off the back end of Alpha. And Bible 102 might be happening this year. We're going to give it a rework over. Oh, now, this was one for me. This was one for me. Adrian Plass promised he'd come and do a show in my church, but neither Adrian or I are the most organized people on the planet. So it really took Colin Young to step in and say, "Mark, could we host Adrian Plass?" And I said, "Yes, please." And Adrian came here, and we had fun with him and with Bridget, and it was just fab. Global Leadership Summit happened again. We had a mini GLS at the start of the year using the best of the 2016 syllabus. And hands up everybody who went to the GLS in 2017. And there was some wonderful, wonderful stuff there. We do have copies of the videos if you're wanting to build on your leadership skills. And it was fun for me because that was the first thing I engaged with after my appendix exploded. Now, we're on a marriage course. There was requests to do a marriage course, and we worked our way through Nikki and Scylla Lee's marriage course in 2017. Again, with the Youngs, it was brilliant. We were able to set out tables and flowers and candles, and it was date night. It was just lovely. And we may run that again next year. Diane and Joel ran a Myers-Briggs day, and some of you figured out which of those squares fits you best and have felt the benefit of it. But also in the background, Diane and Joel have been working with people on a one-to-one basis. And very gently, we just say again how helpful that's been in us understanding. Once you got some understanding of how you're wired, it's amazing how much easier it is to A, be kind to yourself, and B, to have a comprehension of how other people work. It's great for building teams, and we found it very helpful. While this wasn't to get out of it, but 3 days after my appendix exploded, we had the clear out day. There we go. And this is an official picture of what they found in the cupboards. So thank you to Janice for getting that organized. And the only thing I can say is that having done one, I think Janice would reckon, we need another one! Now, here's the thing. Just as a wee vision cast, if you have some junk in the house and you think, I'm going to throw that out, don't then think, or I could give it to the church. You're going, I don't do that. Sometimes people do this. How many pianos did we have, William, when I first came to the church? I think we had 5 pianos, and none of them worked. Absolutely. They could hold a tune. No. We worked our way through Romans. Hey, absolutely. We worked our way through Romans. We went through the entirety of the book of Romans, and most of it was done in the last year. We had Romans 8 for Lent, and you know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, for Easter Day for our celebration. And this, of course, is the picture from Romans 16, when that's Paul bigging up Phoebe, who probably read the letter to the church. So if you see a Phoebe today, give her a high five again. That worked very well last time. So we worked, hey, there we go, the Phoebster getting high fives. Now, and as we were finishing, Sonny's friends, Michael and Patricia Bryan, visited us from Jerusalem. And we had a proper Messianic Jewish rabbi come to tie things up for us at the end of the Romans, which was so cool. But the coolest thing was, is I got to meet them while consuming large amounts of former animal at the Roos's. And frankly, if the Roos's do invite you to a barbecue, if you say no, it's because you're a vegetarian. That's all I'm saying. Now, big thank you to Kath Webster, who organized us through Balfour Beatty to go and climb the 4th rail bridge. And here's Joel's stunning picture from the platform atop the 5-side span. I had a beautiful view of all the people who went up from the ground, because not a herd of wild horses could get me in that rickety old cage to go chinkity-chink up the top. So while I was being a big chicken, marveling at Victorian engineering, these people were up and about. Okay? Hands up here if you would have liked the opportunity to go up. Okay? You're kidding, Richard. You got a head for heights. I salute you, sir. I know that one or two of you, I know Joe was disappointed not to get up, and there's others of you who enjoy heights, and honestly, we'll be able to organize another trip for you sickos later in the year, perhaps, but have a chat with Kath at coffee time, and we'll see if we can get you stitched into another group. There is a thought that actually they're going to do this as a pay-as-you-go thing, but hands up here if you got to the top of the 4th row. Hey, look at them all. Look at them all. That's amazing. Absolutely. Frankly, I felt sick driving across the road bridge just looking at it. Although in my defense, my appendix was about to explode, so maybe if it wasn't, I'd have made it up. Right. We had our Chris Dingle service to raise money for Chaz, and I think by the time everything was cobbled in from the various groups, we've already mentioned the WHO group, and from the Community Recycling Project, raised about $2,000 for the Children's Hospice Association. We've heard from Ross tonight how difficult it is running a charity at the moment. And it just helps when people muck in, sort out some cash, and send it off for your good organization. And also, I meant over 1,100 people saw this on Facebook. There you go. Cheer up lots of people. It got shared. And even with Look at Kay's Believe t-shirt up the top. I do love that. Great photo. And of course, we ended the year with Hogmanay. It was probably the most stout out Hogmanay we've ever had. We reckon we had 140 people. And thankfully, the food stretched. So thank you for the Bombay potatoes and all that stuff that was served up, threw in the hole. Big thank you to Joel, who, because we've employed him, actually headed up the leading of that, and it was a well-done event. And also in his absence, a big thank you to Liam Somerville, who has been sneaking in lighting equipment into the church over the last few years. I know some of you might be a little concerned about that, but it means when we come to rent stuff off Hoggy for things like concerts and the Hogmanay party, that budget's going down every year. We're able to do more because we have stuff built in to the church. And a big thank you to our tech team for all the stuff they do in the background. Ian Purvis wrote this, and I thought this summed up really the back end of the year very well. Ian wrote this. A couple of things stand out for me. One's how everybody pulled together in the last few months. It shows so clearly how blessed we are, have so many gifted people who are willing to commit themselves to the church and to one another. With my treasurer hat on, I can't help but be amazed by the generosity of people and of our God. Despite the difficulties faced by both the church and the food bank, the turnaround in our finances at the end of the year blows my mind, and I can only thank God for his wonderful provision. It's not just about the figures, but it's the fact that we were able to resource so many people in ministries and reach more people than ever with the good news. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And I have to say, of all the people that stepped up, I'm very, very thankful for Ian. He was fielding catches like a cricketer just to make sure that I could get some time off work to recuperate. And it's just been amazing. I'll also say this, is that Ian, of his own initiative, went to a meeting of a sort of church finance meeting at the Glasgow Prophetic Center, who, by the way, they're a GPC as well. There's something going on there. Mm-hmm. But Ian said after he went to that thing, which was about vision for finances, chunks of money started appearing from here, there, and everywhere. Now, I don't know about you, but I like it when money appears in chunks. Okay? I do. And just encourage you that it's not just about salary or benefits or pension. It's about faith. And where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And you guys have been amazing this year. It's absolutely incredible. I don't know any church this size that's able to resource ministries in the way that this church does. There may be others, I don't know them. And I'm so thankful for you, and so's Ian too. So well done. Now, here's the last one. This was a big year because we got to baptize an entire family. There we go. There's Mama Downey getting baptized in the North Sea. And the North Sea was very kind. It came to us this year. A big shout out needs to go to Susan Wilson, who managed to sit on a deck chair on a steep gradient with a stick. It was very impressive. And thank you to everybody who bath chaired and whatever people around the dunes at the Bents at Gullen and made it all possible. But it was just fantastic. And I know it's a bit dark. It was quite a day, but there's Ross and Neil, we thought better sneak him in, and me, and just to baptize a whole family. Now, you talk about, Jeremy Clarkson used to like to describe things about cars as being biblical, which is, you know, it's fun. And it, you know, reminds us of the importance of the book. But to baptize a whole family, that's biblical. That's biblical. And I want to see more of that. So go find them. Go find them. We'd love to have another day like that. And what a privilege. What a privilege it was. And it's fantastic. Right. Let's read this psalm together. At the first week of the year, we had some people bring words. And Elspeth brought verse 8 of this psalm. I thought we'd read it together and just finish with a reflection. Let's read. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous. Don't put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. My enemy has chased me, has knocked me to the ground, and forces me to live in darkness like those in the grave. I'm losing all hope. I'm paralyzed with fear. I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain. And then the psalm turns. Okay, many psalms do this. Then the psalm turns. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn away from me, or I will die. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. For the glory of your name, O Lord, preserve my life. Because of your faithfulness, bring me out of this distress. In your unfailing love, silence all of my enemies and destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Okay. So, as we as a church step forward, and even as we look back, we know we've been up against it at various points last year, yes? Poor Joel, when he started, instead of getting all the support and love and care and schedules and everything he needed, found that both Ross and I were struggling. And in the back end of the year, it was tough. I'm not saying it wasn't good, but it was tough. Now, let's read verse 8 again. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting in you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Who's the one that shows us the way? It's Jesus. It's Jesus who shows us the way. And wherever we are in our life, wherever we are in our church life, where does our help come from? The 121st Psalm says that, isn't it? I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Whatever we're facing, in whatever situation at work or at home, in our communities, let's trust God this year. And I love this psalm because it encourages us to seek God's strength and guidance, his renewing love, every morning. What would our lives be like if we just took 15 minutes at the start of each day to make sure that we were rooted in his love? What difference would that make? What difference would that make? I'll maybe talk about this a bit more at the meeting place, but I was thinking about, I was again in Mark chapter 2, where these four friends lower the paralyzed man down through Jesus' roof, okay? Because they can't get through because of the crowd. And what does Jesus say to the man? He says, your sins are forgiven. And actually, as I was thinking this morning, I thought, how often do we get paralyzed because we've gone the wrong way? How often are we paralyzed because we're blue, we're in a deep depression? How often are we paralyzed because the enemy's mounting against us? How often are we paralyzed because of all the things that come against us? And at that point, what we need are four burly friends to get us in the presence of King Jesus, who will forgive us and restore us to walk and stop us being paralyzed in disappointment, depression, sadness, defeat, disappointment, whatever it might be. And so my prayer for each of us is that we would grow in that this year. Yes? Now, for some of you, that moment with Jesus day by day just comes naturally. For some of you, it doesn't come naturally. But I don't think that lets us off the hook. So either at the time you've organized or in the first time in the day where it comes to mind, take that moment with Jesus so that you can hear of his love, unfailing love, every morning, or if you're a teenager, 1 o'clock in the afternoon counts as morning. Yes, it does. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not 3 in the morning when you went to bed. It's 1 in the afternoon. Okay. Let's start each day with Jesus. And As the church grows and as ministries grow and as all these different things gain momentum, it's tempting to think it's all become far too complex and difficult to get our heads around. Friends, we need it to be simple. What Jesus says, we do. And the love that he gives us, we share. And the vision he gives us, we follow. And we encourage everyone to live in the reality of that incredible love. It couldn't be simpler. And whether it's dipping into your pocket to help a child in Bangladesh, whether it's taking time with someone who's heartbroken, whether it's sorting out a brown envelope for a family in need, or feeding a meal, or organizing a food parcel, whether it's taking time to make sure someone's cared for. I spent time with the folks at Redwoods this week, and I was trying to remind them that the kingdom comes in the kindness of giving a cup of water or some clothing or cleaning up when someone's in a mess. It couldn't be simpler. For Jesus' love is shaped to pour through us in kindness and gentleness and in faithfulness. So God bless you guys. And well done for muscling up while I was off work. And thank you for all the extra miles you've done. And there's things that I've missed, and there's things that we can't talk about in public that took a lot of work. But you guys that work quietly on the confidential stuff have been doing a great job too. And if you're new around here, I pray that you find a place to muck in, that Jesus' church here might grow and prosper. Amen. 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 Yeah.